Holy Father, in Jesus' name, I realize that all life comes from you, that all things are held together, sustained by the power of your word, including us, Lord. And we are here today, Lord, by your design. Lord, it is you that decided that we would be here on this planet for such a time as this. And Holy Father, we submit ourselves to you today. And we pray for your will to be done. I pray, Father, that you grant me utterance to speak today. Lord, we want to hear from you. So help me, Lord, to get out of your way, and that you would just use me as a vessel, that you will speak through me today, that you'd reach through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. It's so good to be here, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where does my help come from? Title of the message today is Lighting the Fire Again. Lighting the Fire Again. How many know we need to stay lit? And there's times when our wick will grow dim, right? And but God is able to revive, to revitalize, to bring life back. And you know, the enemy works very hard to discourage people and to get them in self-condemnation because of a failure or, you know, some kind of thing that you did. And then he comes up and he just wears on you and reminds you of it and rubs it in your face. And his whole plan is to discourage you and to cause you to shrink in your faith and to believe the lie that somehow God is so mad at you because of what you did that he'll never listen to you again. And there are some people that have actually believed that lie. They feel that they've just done so much wrong in their life that God would never listen to them. How many know that God does hear you? God does care for you. Even when you fail him, he still loves you. But he can only do to us what we allow him to do. And that is, we have to be able to entrust him with our soul and with our problems and with our failures and with our shortcomings, with our weaknesses. We've got to be able to trust the Lord with those things and give those things to him. God knows that we're weak by nature. God knows that we cannot live this life that we're called to without his grace. Amen. Anybody beside myself in here have some quirks in your life, just some idiosyncrasies and some things that maybe your wife is irritated about or your husband is irritated about you? And if you spend enough time with anybody, there's going to be something that happens or comes up that you're just not too pleased with, right? And because we're just all so different, and we all have our quirks. And you know that God still loves you even with your quirks. And God knew that before you ever called on him, while we were still in our sin. Amen. Jesus died. Amen. Because he wanted to deliver us from ourselves and from our situation that we could really never change. Some people are trying to patch their life up to improve their life, self-help their life, you know. But it's only God that can really change the heart of man. Amen. And so we've got to trust our soul to him, our hearts to him, as the only one that can really help us. Our help comes from who? The Lord. Psalms 121, who made heaven and earth. When we begin to look elsewhere for help, we begin to lose spiritual strength. When we shift our dependence on God to dependence on flesh, we lose spiritual strength. When we seek to find comfort and satisfaction in the world and worldly things, we lose strength, right? We lose spiritual strength. There are many things that are vying for our attention. The enemy is a narcissist. The devil is a narcissist. He's full of himself. And natural man is also a narcissist. I know we say, oh, that person's a real narcissist. And some may be more so than others. But naturally speaking, we're all very selfish. All you have to do is go and spend some time in the nursery and you realize that, amen, those little darlings in there are not all that darling. Amen. They were born with that sinful, rebellious nature and very self-centered. And it's all about me. And what can I get out of this? Amen. And now we're living in the age of selfies. Look at me. Look at me. I remember riding my spider bike. How many remember the spider bikes? Look at me. Look at me. No hands, you know. Right. Yeah. I don't know how I survived my childhood on that thing, but doing these evil Knievel moves and jumps. But, you know, we're all just that way naturally. And so that's why we need deliverance from that part of us that's really in rebellion to God. There is that old sin nature that we possess. Even as believers who have been born again, who have the Spirit of Christ, we have to contend with the flesh. And so the flesh wants to be coddled. The flesh wants to be paid attention to. Amen. It's an attention seeker, right? And that part of us that really is prone to wander and to be distracted by lesser earthly things. You know, if we allow our flesh to lead our steps, we're going to be in a mess very quickly. Amen. And we will lose spiritual strength if we don't continue to draw strength from the Lord on a daily basis. Some people depend on a service at church once a week. Some maybe once a month. Amen. And the rest of the time they're on spiritual IV drip in survival mode, you know. And so they come back to church so we can put the Holy Ghost paddles back on them and resuscitate them again, right? But I'm the same way. I need God, amen, in order to be anything for God. Amen. I need Him. It's not of me, but of Him that I have strength and the ability that I have to live for Him. And God is trying to get that across to us. He wants us to understand that apart from Him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench means extinguish. So the word speaks of like putting out a fire. In other words, we're not to extinguish the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. How many know that the Holy Spirit has been given unto us and the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it? He is a person. Amen. He is the paraclete. He is the comforter. He's the one that comes alongside. He's the one that dwells in us. He's the one that is our teacher. The Spirit of truth will lead us into all truth. And so He can be grieved. We can grieve the Holy Spirit of God that's within us. And it's by what we do that we can grieve Him and by what we say. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another. This is the heart of God. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Because if we don't do these things, then we grieve the heart of God. We grieve the Spirit. Amen? And so whenever we neglect our relationship with the Lord, we end up grieving Him. And why is that? Because the Lord loves us. And because without Him, we can only produce bad fruit. Our flesh or our sin nature cannot please the Lord. You cannot serve the Lord in your flesh and be pleasing to Him. Our bodies, amen, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But by our spirit, we rule over our body and we tell our body what it's going to do in agreement with what God's will is for us. Amen. So our bodies are our servant. Amen. But that sin nature that we were born with, amen, we still drag that thing along with us. Amen. Every day until the day of redemption. Amen. The full redemption. Amen. We're going to have to contend and every day put that part of us to death, the part that would rebel against the known will of God. And the only way that we can overcome our sin nature is by being strong in the Holy Spirit, strong in the Lord. We need God's power, amen, on a consistent daily basis in order to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? And we cannot do this in our own willpower. This is where many people get into trouble. When I begin to think that I'm doing well and I've got this thing, amen, in my own hands, well, that's when I begin to fall from grace. Why? Because it means that I'm arrogant and I think that in myself I have the power to live for God or to overcome the devil. But God gives His grace to the humble, those who submit themselves to God, and those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, He will what? Lift up. Hallelujah. And He'll lift you up in honor. Hallelujah. God gives His grace to the ones who realize that they need His grace. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants us to turn away from the Lord, from dependence on Him to dependence on the flesh, on self. So how do we quench the Spirit? Well, first, the most obvious way we quench the Spirit, all right, we don't put the fire out, is by sin, by willfully sinning. Amen. Knowing that what we're doing is wrong and doing it anyways. Another way we quench the Spirit is by replacing the work of the Spirit in worship with man-made rules and traditions. Amen. There are many churches that are just caught up in tradition and in formalities. Amen. But they don't have the substance, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we don't have the Spirit of God, there's no point. It's just a social club. Amen. And we do certain things in the flesh to somehow try to appease ourselves. So we feel better about ourselves because I did my religious duty today. Are you hearing me, somebody? God is after you. He's after your heart. He wants our heart. Amen. He's not looking for our religiosity or our religious service. He wants our heart. If he has our heart, then we will willingly serve him. Amen. When God has your heart, you'll have a desire to please him. You'll have a desire to serve him. When the Holy Spirit of God is burning in you, in your spirit, amen, you will have a holy passion for God and for the things of God. If your lamp is going out, if your oil is being exhausted, you're going to find yourself becoming more and more prone towards the flesh and the things of the flesh, amen, and you're going to struggle in your Christian walk. God wants to resurrect that today. He wants to resurrect you, amen, out of that place of despondency, of apathy, and of complacency. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a pattern of worship. And there were three fires that were kept continually burning in the temple. The first one was on the brazen altar. And that brazen altar was the altar of sacrifice, where there was a roaring fire, an inferno, that was kept going continuously. And that fire represents the presence of God. Amen. And then the sacrifice would be brought and laid on that altar. Amen. It would be offered up on behalf of the sins of the people. The blood would be collected. Amen. And then the high priest would take that blood. Amen. And he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Amen. For his own sins and for the sins of the people. Well, that represents our Lord, doesn't it? It represents him who was our sacrifice, who was fully given up in a whole burnt offering, if you will, on that cross on our behalf, who shed his blood. Hallelujah. Amen. So that we could receive forgiveness. Amen. And Jesus himself, as our great high priest, amen, once and for all went into heaven itself and has made atonement for our sins. That if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but that's good news. But unforgiveness quenches the Spirit. Disunity. How many know the enemy is trying to get us at odds with each other? He's going around looking for ways to get us offended at one another. I don't like the way they looked at me. I don't like what they said. Oh, they didn't. They're so snobbish. They didn't even say hello to me today. You know, we'd do ourselves a great big favor if we just quit looking at ourselves and say, Lord, how can I love others? How can I serve you? Amen. And if I get a blessing from somebody, that's a fringe benefit. Amen. But that's not my goal in life, is to go around looking for a bless me. All right. Or somebody to say, hey, you're doing great. Because if you only live off what other people affirm you in, amen, you're only going to be doing as good as you are at the time. How many know it's a trap really to be in the fear of man? And how many know that it's really a trap to be looking for the accolades and the acknowledgement and the affirmation from people? Amen. Because if Jesus had done that, he would not have gone to the cross. He would have not have given himself for us. Amen. But he made himself of no reputation. Amen. Took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient to death. Amen. Even the death on the cross. Hallelujah. On our behalf. That's our Lord. He demonstrated for us what it is to live a life that is full of joy and full of peace and full of love, full of goodness. Amen. And the goodness of God. And that is a life that is lived for God and for others. Amen. Not a life that is all about what I can get out of it, but how can I be a blessing to somebody else? Come on. You know, in a marriage, it's the same thing. If you're always looking for ways to bless each other in the marriage, your marriage is going to be great. Amen. Well, honey, what do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? No, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? No. You can get into an argument over that. What do you want to do now? But we want to please one another. Amen. And we don't want to be selfish. We want to be selfless in the relationship. And if both of you are doing that, there's a sweet spot. Amen. In that relationship. It's when we get into ourselves and we allow ourselves to go sometimes spiritually and that wick begins to get dim. Amen. That flame begins to get dim and that old nature begins to come up and that old selfish nature begins to pop up its head and that old selfish nature wants to be first, wants to have its way. Are you hearing me, somebody? So that's why we have to fan the flame in our hearts and we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we have to take captive every thought, amen, to the obedience of Christ and what the Lord wants for us, amen. Any rogue thought that does not agree with what God has said, amen, needs to be taken captive, right? Don't allow that thing to permeate. Don't allow that thing to reach your heart, if you will. Deal with it right away. When you begin to stray in your mind, you start to dream about, well, I remember how it used to be years ago. And your mind goes off into these places. You're in the mall or you're in the store and you hear that old song. And it brings you back to a time and a place. And you say, oh, not going there. Are you hearing me? You start to think about, oh, I remember that song. And yeah, because that is the flesh. Amen. The flesh is appeased by that. The flesh wants to be coddled. It wants to be paid attention to. Are you hearing me? That's the part of you that you have to say, wait a minute, that does not agree with what God wants for me. Amen. Therefore, it is a rogue thought. I have to take it captive. I cannot entertain that thought in my mind because eventually if I begin to think on the wrong thing, that will become sin, won't it? It begins in the mind and then it becomes an action and then it produces death. But even Jesus said, if a man even looks upon a woman with lust in his heart to lust after her, amen, to commit adultery, basically, in his heart with her, he's already sinned, whether he actually did it in the physical flesh or not. Amen? So we have to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. But we quench the spirit, you know, when we neglect our prayer, our personal prayer life, our study of the word, and even fellowship with God's people. Right? Amen. I know I can preach to Debbie and she'll agree with me. So, right? How important it is that we are fellowshipping with God's people as often as we can. Amen. Why? Because this is God's design, God's heart, that his people would be together, that we'll be united, that we'll be a temple of praise. Amen. For him. We are the living stones that make up the temple of God. And how many know that the stones need to come together? Amen. There's a greater expression, amen, of the heart of God when we are in unity. Amen. It was on the day of Pentecost when they were all in one accord in one place. Amen. They were all in unity and their heart was to pursue the Lord. Amen. They were seeking the Lord. And then suddenly, amen, a sound from heaven. Amen. As of a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. Now, we know that God wants to do more than what we're experiencing right now. But God is waiting for you and I to get into position so that he can release it. Are you hearing me, somebody? We need every one of his people, every one of us here, to be sold out for Jesus. Every one of us coming with a heart that, Lord, we want you. We don't want to be entertained by music or preaching. We want Jesus. Amen. We have a heart for the Lord. And when we listen to the preaching, amen, we're listening for the voice of God to come through. Amen. And you and I have been called to fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Amen. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. This is the Old Testament pattern. Amen. And listen, the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. This was to be a continual. This is a brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. So again, there was three fires. One was a fire that was kept for the brazen altar. Amen. That was to be continually burning. And then there was like an extra fire that was kept as a replenishing fire for the other fires. And another one was the altar of incense. There was a pile of for the altar of incense, amen, of wood. And that was also kept there. And that that flame, amen, was continually to burn within the temple. What does that represent? Well, the flame represents the presence of God. Amen. And how many know that we are to continue to abide in the Lord every day? Amen. We are to be filled every day. Our lamps are not to go out, but our lamps are to be resupplied with the oil of God. Amen. So that the flame continues to burn. God is the provider. Amen. The supplier of the oil. But my responsibility is to trim the wick, to get rid of all those things. Amen. That could hinder. Amen. The Lord's work in my life and out of my life. Amen. To get into a place, Lord, where the Lord now can fill me completely and use me for His glory. Amen. That means I have to deny myself. But it's worth it. How many have found the Lord to be your greatest joy? How many have discovered already that when you live a selfish life, you live a very empty life? Yeah? A miserable life is a selfish life. That's why people in high places with lots of money just can't have enough. And it doesn't matter how much money they have. Once they get all the money, now they just need the power, thinking that these things are going to satisfy them. Why? Because they're empty things. The things of this world are not going to truly satisfy you. There's a lot of suicide in high places. Amen. There's a lot of suicide in Hollywood because people thought if I could just get famous and have lots of money and have this lavish lifestyle that somehow I'll be happy, I'll be contented. And when they get there, they say, was this what I was looking for all this time? Is this all there is to life? Well, guess what? The author of life is Jesus. Amen. And to have Jesus is to have life. He is our life. In Him we live and move and have our being. But we must give proper care as priests, as a royal priesthood, as a New Testament church, to nourish and maintain the fire of God in our hearts and our lives. It's my responsibility to keep the tank topped off. I say this often because it has to come to a revelation in you to where you understand, and God will help you understand, amen, that life is vain without Him. Life is empty without Him. There's no point without Him. Jesus is the point of life. We were created for Him, for His pleasure we have been made. Amen? So to live outside of that relationship with Jesus is to live a dysfunctional life. We've got to be very careful that we maintain our spiritual life. And it's our responsibility. And you know, when Paul said, quench not the spirit, it was a command. And when he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, it was a command. And here's one that I've shared before, but in 2 Timothy 1:6, he said to Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. As an apostle, Paul used him in the authority God gave him to lay hands. God imparted the gift that Timothy needed for his mission. He was a pastor. Amen. And he says, I want you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. In other words, in order for you to stay fresh in the spirit, it's going to require your cooperation with God. God's not just going to do it apart from you. You're in a partnership. You're in a relationship with Him. Amen. It's no different than your marriage. Amen. You've got to put into your marriage. Amen. You have to love one another. You have to give to one another. And whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. So you sow into your mate. Amen. You love your mate. You take care of your mate. You do what's best for them. Amen. Because you love them. Amen. And if your mate will do the same towards you, then it is a healthy thing. Amen. The relationship is good. And if mama's happy, everybody's happy. Moving right along. Yeah. But what happens, guys, listen, what happens when you let your fire go out in you, when the fire goes out? Are you able to get it back again? Because it never really goes out completely. Yes, of course, only Jesus, though, can light that fire in you. Amen? You and I are just not spiritual enough to keep ourselves alive spiritually. Well, the reason we need Jesus, amen, is because we're not spiritual, amen? And he makes us spiritual. But some people think they're spiritual and therefore, you know, I'm some kind of super apostle or super Christian or whatever. You know, it's easy to get caught up in that. And I think I've been caught up in that a few times because I was doing really good in my life. You know, everything was going my way. I was on fire for God. And then I got into this thing where I thought maybe I'm a little bit better than the other guy. Ever been there? All right, we're going to have a an altar call here and now. So we're going to have some confessions up in here, you know. Because the enemy comes in, you see, and he works through your flesh. And he starts to say, you're this and you're that and you're, you know, what's. And then you start to compare yourself. It's easy to do, you know. Well, what's wrong with Joe over there? Oh, my goodness. Oh, he's really let himself go, you know. But next thing you know, you're falling into the same thing. How many have had that happen where you judge somebody in a certain area of their life? And next thing you know, that you're falling into the same trap. It's, I've seen it. Be careful, you get people that are always criticizing other Christians, amen, as if they're the super spiritual one, amen, and they're the keepers of everybody else. Are you hearing me? Because I've seen that. I've had people, and we've had some very public ministers, amen, that were in the on television in the public spotlight that were preaching against certain sins all the time, and next thing you know, they find out that they're involved in the same sin. So we need to walk humbly before God and realize that without him, we can't do it. Without him, we can't even contain ourselves like we should. Amen. So we have to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the fire of God, hallelujah, is a life characterized by God's power. Our lives should be characterized by God's power. Amen. Because we're people of his presence. Because we walk in the Lord. Amen. The fruit of God's power is love. It's self-control. Amen. And it's boldness as well in the face of opposition. Anybody beside myself been intimidated by political correctness and things that are happening right now? And that fleshly desire to conform to what society says is the norm? Because you don't want to stand out as being different, because then you'll be separated out as being, you know, non-compliant. You know, we have to have the strength of the Lord in order to stand up against the pressure to conform to the pattern of this world. The spirit of Antichrist is prevalent. Amen. Anything against God, amen, is now being made popular. As you see in what's happening in your world. And that's why the people of God need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that we will have the boldness by the Spirit to stand firm in our convictions and not bow down to that spirit of Antichrist. Can you say amen? We need the power of God. We need the grace of God to overcome. Even when we're being opposed, God can give you a supernatural grace, amen, to even de-escalate a situation. Do you know that you can bless those who curse you by the power of God? Do you know you can pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you by the power of God? Yeah. Do you know that the love of God will conquer any hate? Jesus said you overcome, Paul said you overcome what? The evil by good, by doing good. Amen. You do the opposite of what the enemy is doing. 2 Timothy 1:7, here it is. You all know this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Yet, sometimes we are fearful. Why is that? Because the flame is going dim. Because the supply of oil is running out. When you allow yourself to go spiritually, if you will, let yourself go spiritually, and you don't maintain, amen, that proper walk with the Lord and that relationship, then what happens is that other part of you begins to rise up again. And that outer man is prone to peer pressure. He's subject, amen, to fear. All right. And so by the Spirit of God, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, right? And the love of God casts out all fear. So if our hearts are filled with the love of God, if the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, amen, then we're not walking in fear, and therefore we're not cowards. And we're not going to bow down to political correctness or what the mob is doing. The reason why so many people get caught up in the mob violence and the things that are happening in the streets is because they were just following other people because they didn't have the strength to stand alone and say, you know what, this is not right. But some people said, I know this isn't right, but I don't have the strength to resist. Amen. What's happening here? And they were taken captive by that spirit of rebellion, spirit of witchcraft. Amen. That has been very prevalent in this land. Amen. Spirit of rebellion, isn't it? And so it doesn't matter who we are or where we've been or what we've accomplished thus far. It's very important that we continue to walk in the Spirit. We continue to nourish the flame. Amen. To maintain oil in our lamps so that the fire of God burns bright in us. Amen. And the fire of God will overcome our senses, overcome our outer man, overcome our insecurities, overcome our weaknesses, and the power of God will make us bold, amen, to where we can stand firm, even in the face of opposition, even sometimes death, because of the conviction of the power of God in us, amen. Therefore, he says in verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Right after he says God has given us a spirit of power, and of love and of a sound mind, right? He says, then don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. How can we be bold testimony for Jesus today in this age when there's so much opposition against it? Amen. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is merciful, isn't he? He's very patient. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. Jesus wants to light the fire in you again. In Matthew 12 and 20, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. What does a bruised reed speak of? How many have known a reed that might be kind of just broken off, amen, and just kind of limp in the wind, you know, on the sides of a river, for example? He says, a bruised reed, he will what? Not break. Speaks of really feebleness, of spiritual instability. You know, God never kicks you when you're down. The devil does that. As a matter of fact, the Lord wants to lift you back up. The Lord wants to restore you. Amen. He wants to restore his flame in you again. God is not cruel. Amen. He's not unforgiving. But he's merciful. He's compassionate. The smoking flax really speaks of a wick, of a lamp. Amen. When the oil is extinguished. And he says the smoking flax, he will not quench. Amen. He's not going to snuff you out. Amen. If the ember in you, amen, is weak, God wants to simply breathe back upon the ember of your heart. Amen. And revitalize or bring you back to life again, to revive your spirit again, to restore you. Amen. To spiritual life and health. That's what God wants for his people. The enemy beats up on people and he makes them feel ashamed because they failed in some area of their life. And he tells them, don't go back to God's people. Don't go back to fellowship. Don't go back to church. Amen. Because you're going to be judged and everybody's going to know how bad of a sinner you are. And so he works through fear and through shame and through guilt. Amen. To bring a person into a place where now they're self-condemned and they're believing a lie. Amen. That God has not put upon them, but they put upon themselves because they've listened to the wrong voice. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God wants to revive you again. He will breathe into your life again. Amen. And he wants to restore you to that fervency that you have, that love, that holy passion that burns within you. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants to reignite that within you. He wants to revive his church. He wants to revive this church. He wants to revive his church in America. And God is saying, just return. Come back. Come back to your first love. I missed you. Amen. I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will not condemn you. Because we are his beloved. It says, till he sends forth justice to victory. And justice here means the truth. Till he sends the truth of God out. The truth is going to prevail, guys, in his people, in God's people. God's truth is going to prevail in the earth. No matter what it looks like right now, God's truth will prevail. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. Amen? He's going to establish his reign in Jerusalem over all the earth. Know that. Amen? What you see happening right now is momentary. It's temporary. Amen? But God is going to return, and he's going to bring justice in the earth. And we're praying, Lord, bring justice to America. Bring justice in our land again. Amen? I pray the fear of God to come upon these justices across this nation. Amen. Upon these judges. Lord, the fear of God to come upon these politicians. These governors. Amen. The fear of God to come upon them. Lord, arrest them, Holy Spirit. Bring them to repentance. In Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. One of my favorite verses. Amen. If you ever get discouraged, just look at that and remind yourself. But the earth will be filled. Amen. And the Lord, in 2 Peter 3:9, he's very patient. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise of his return, right? As comes count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should, what? Come to repentance. Repentance is I turn back to the Lord. I repent. Amen. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm going to follow you now. The fire of God will refine and empower God's people. When you think of a fire, you know, we used to like to do campfires, right? Everybody probably been at a campfire before, right? We all had a fire. And if it's cold outside, it's nice to have a warm fire, you know. And fire has many purposes, doesn't it? Fire refines. Fire purifies, amen? Fire brings light. Amen. In the darkness. Do you know fire also, if you're in the deep woods or something, fire can also keep the critters away. Amen. They're afraid of the light, especially the night creatures. Amen. They're not going to bother you if they see a fire. Amen. And that's, if you think about it, that's why we need the fire of God. Amen. Because we need to be able to see what's happening. Amen. We need discernment. We need to be able to read in the spirit what's actually going on, not just how things appear on the outside. Word, but what's actually going on in the darkness. Amen. God wants his people to be wise. He wants us to be aware of what's happening. Amen. He doesn't want us to get caught up in the groupthink of the world. Amen. The hive mentality, if you will, where people are just wholesale going along with the narrative, amen, that they're being fed continually because they don't have the light of Christ. They don't have the word of God. And so they're just going to go with whatever seems to be popular and what most people are doing. Oh, it's a new technology. I want it. Why? Because everybody else has it. Well, let's make it permanent in your right hand or in your forehead. Oh, great. I won't have to use a card anymore. Moving. The fire of God will refine. It's going to purify. But with the fire, amen, there's some pain involved. Amen? Hallelujah. But God knows what he's doing in your life. And God knows how we're prone to wander. And if you're God's child, he's going to discipline you. He's going to get your attention. Amen? If he has to take the toys away, he'll do that. Amen? America is getting a spanking right now, but I believe there's hope for America. And it's because God's people, the people that are called by his name, we are returning to our God and we are crying out, amen, for God's intervention, for his mercy, amen, and for his grace in this land. We need revival. We need an awakening in this nation, amen, that's going to sweep from coast to coast. And every church needs to be, amen, put down the false teaching, amen, and quit trying to please people and get back to pleasing the Lord. It's going to refine God's people. We're going to be refined in the fire because God wants purity. He wants a holy people. He's coming for a holy church, isn't he? A holy bride. Hallelujah. And he's working in your heart. He's working in your life. Even if you blow it badly, God hasn't thrown you away. He's saying, come back. Learn from it. We'll go forward together. But listen, the fire of God is going to consume the wicked. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, talking to the church? Amen. We're not to be swept away with the wicked. Amen. We're supposed to be, amen, keeping ourselves, saving ourselves for our heavenly bridegroom. Amen. Having no other gods before him, eyes for no one else except Jesus. Amen. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, those who will refuse to bow their knee to God, amen, and all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But I love this verse 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, who would that be? Jesus shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. He's talking about you're going to be completely satisfied in him. Amen. Some of you are thinking, I don't know if I want to look like a... Yeah. But verse 3, you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. You see, when the fire would burn on the altar, the ashes had to be removed. Otherwise, it would begin to choke out the fire. Those ashes represent the sin and the impurities, are you hearing me, of our lives. God wants to cleanse. God wants to purify and make us holy. Amen. So you have to take the trash out. And you have to be willing to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Amen. To say, Lord God, I repent. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I will quit whatever you say to quit doing. Amen. I'm going to get in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God because I want the favor and the blessing of God in my life. Amen. And I want my lamp to burn brightly again. Amen. I want to be restored to that love. Amen. And that burning, passionate desire in me. Amen. To love and to serve God and his people again. Hallelujah. To where I'm not self-centered. I'm centered on him again. Hallelujah. Am I truly burning for God? I have to ask myself this. Am I truly burning for God? How many can agree with me today? I can burn more. God wants to do more in my life. Don't ever get to the point where you think you've arrived. That's when you start to wilt. We should always be growing. Amen. Feeding on the Word of God. Feasting on his presence. Amen. Where do I find my help, my strength? Well, we know where it comes from, doesn't it? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Maybe one time you burned for God. Where are you at today? Now it seems you've lost your holy passion. Maybe the cares of this life have crept in and choked out your flame, to where now you're just so consumed with your problems and with your finances and with your kids and with your whatever it might be, your job situation. Are you hearing me? That all of a sudden now you're just consumed by these things and your flame is going out and you're finding yourself troubled and irritated and you're finding yourself anxious about these things. And are you hearing me? God wants to restore you back to life again. He wants to raise you up, amen, out of that funk and set you in high places with him. And he isn't done with you. And he said, you may be a smoldering wick. As long as there's an ember there, there's hope. Amen. God's not going to break it. Amen. He's not going to snuff it out. Breathe on me again, Lord, I pray. Breathe upon the ember of my heart again, Lord. Set me ablaze for you, Lord Jesus. I want to burn for you, Lord Jesus. God, I want to burn for you. Small compromises. Yeah, you made small compromises. It's not a big one. It's just small compromises. But the small compromises with sin have now become larger compromises with sin. And now it seems that the fire has gone out. Well, if there's an ember there, there's hope. The Lord wants to restore you. It's not too late. If you still have even a desire to burn for God, know that it is God who put that desire in you. Do you have a desire to burn for the Lord? You want to be on fire for Jesus? Yes. Guess who put that desire in you? Jesus put that in you. Amen. But he asked you to cooperate with him. for that to occur. You have to comply, amen, with the master's will. Submit yourself. Deny yourself. Say, Lord, what do you want? I'm good at coming to God and asking him for everything I want, but God, what do you want? What can I do for you? What needs to change in me, Lord? What can I do on my part to get into position so that you can bless me again? Amen. And so I'll burn for you again. There'll be no impurities in my life so I can see clearly because the light is on in someone's home. If you're a smoldering ember, if your oil's been exhausted, there's hope. You know, if you're a bruised reed, maybe you just feel as this weakness spiritually, you become weak. You know, you become unstable in your walk. There's hope. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with guilt and shame because of things you've done and mistakes you've made. And you weren't there when people were hoping for you, expecting you to be there. And these things that happen in life, we stumble along the path. Everybody makes mistakes. Can you say amen? But God does not kick you when you're down. God wants to lift you up and God wants to restore you. And God wants to breathe into your life. He wants to set you on fire for him again. He wants you to blaze, amen, for him. Where your life is filled with Jesus. He is the most important person in your life, amen. Your world revolves around the Lord. Hallelujah. Family's great. I take care of my family. Amen. I love my wife. But Jesus is my all in all. And that's the right place to be. Amen. Hallelujah. If you will consistently commit yourself. Hear it. This is the answer. Consistently commit yourself. Have your wife or your husband help you with this, or a friend or somebody if you're having trouble on your own. Amen. Be accountable, amen, to consistently pray. All right? Consistently pray. Consistently study the word. Consistently come to church and fellowship with God's people. If you do these things, consistently obey. Amen. Consistently worship the Lord, you won't stumble, you won't become weak, you won't become weary, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Wait on the Lord. Feast on him. Delight yourself in him. Hallelujah. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. And you'll find that as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will become your desire. And the things that please him will be priority in your life. Hallelujah. Maybe you've drifted away. You're not where you used to be. I can tell you, I know you guys. You know me. And I know when you're doing well in the Lord and when you're not. And I know where some of you have been and where you are today. And it's not where you used to be. And I'm praying, oh God, bring that brother, bring that sister back to where they were. Amen. Because I want to see every one of us on fire for Jesus, including me. Amen. I need the Lord as much as anybody else here. Amen. But we need to come to the Lord who alone can revive our spirit. Can you say amen? We just stand. Hallelujah. I want to do something really radical this morning. Is that okay? I never do anything radical, but God wants to light you up today. How many here say, I want to be lit for Jesus? If that's you, I want you to come down to the front here. We're going to just join around, make a circle up here, just stuff everybody in here as best we can. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for each other. Hallelujah. Come on down. You want to burn for Jesus today? Hallelujah. You want the fire of God rekindled in your heart again? Come on down. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on up. We got plenty of room up in here. And we don't want anybody left behind. Only those who really want to burn for the Lord. Amen. If you're not interested in God, but if you're interested in God, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if you're not a Christian today, if you're not born again, today is the day of salvation. You don't want to go to hell. Amen. Jesus died to save you from hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is eternal. You never get out of hell, amen? But heaven is also eternal, and Jesus died, amen, so that we could be forgiven and that we could have a home with him forever in heaven, amen? Isn't that good news? But while we're here, God has given you and I a responsibility, amen? He's given you a mission. He's given you a calling, hallelujah. And the only way for us to do that will of God is to be burning for God. Can you say amen? So today we're going to call upon the only one, because I can't revive you, but Jesus can. Amen. And if maybe you've been drifted away, you haven't been where you need to be, and you know it. Maybe you used to once burn for the Lord, where you had such a passion for God, and you seem to have lost that. Guess what? The Lord will not despise that. The Lord will not kick you away. Amen. He will draw you in. He will breathe in your life again. He will revive you. He will restore you to your first love again. Believe today is the day of salvation. Father, we pray for your fire to fall right now. God, we pray in Jesus' name, move upon us today, Lord. Light us up for you, Jesus. Lift your hands to him right now. Say, Jesus.